truths that free.com. This message from First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. I pray that you're safe from the storm. I pray that you've done your planning, preparation, and praying, and you're asking God to keep us safe, especially here in Northeast Florida. But we need to pray for those that are multitudes, by the millions, in fact, on the highways traveling, trying to flee the storm that's coming in just south of Tampa, as we understand it. They're saying that the storm surge will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 foot that's coming in. I don't know what that means to you, but that's pretty deep storm surge, and there are millions of people in that area that I pray that have already fled the storm, and they're out of harm's way. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the second major storm like that that's coming in on the west coast of Florida, and then I understand there's a third one now that's on the heels of that, and yet we have FEMA that's supposed to be funded by the federal government, by our taxpayers' dollars, in order to take care of issues like that. Before we take our next caller, let me read you 2 or 3 brief articles, just portions of the articles, not the entire articles. One says, Mayorkas, that's the head of DHS, warns that FEMA doesn't have enough funding to last through the hurricane season. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said the agency tasked with helping communities recover from hurricanes and the Hurricane Helene and other natural disasters does not have enough money to make it through the hurricane season. The Federal Emergency Management Agency can meet immediate needs, but does not have enough funding to make it through the hurricane season, according to the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Then another headline, treasonous. Biden-Harris spends billions of dollars on illegal aliens, leaving disaster funds, the FEMA, to help Americans? Empty. I want to emphasize that. Empty. The Biden-Harris administration has orchestrated its open border practices to set up circumstances that are costing American taxpayers somewhere in the range of $150 billion to help the illegal invaders, I'm calling invaders, they call it aliens, millions of them illegally in America. And that's left coffers for citizens dry, facing the loss of everything because of Hurricane Helene, need a hand up, not a hand out. It was Newsweek only months ago that estimated the ongoing border crisis under Biden-Harris administration and its mismanagement was seeing 5,000 illegals released into the U.S. every day. The cost estimated at $150.7 billion for just the last year. Now a member of the Biden-Harris team is pointing out, according to the Daily Caller News Foundation, that there's no money left to help Americans in the hurricane-ravaged pathway. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. If you put your money in a bank account and you decide to write a check on it, and the bank says, no, there's not enough money to cover the check, you say, why? They say, well, we put it in another account because we felt it was more needed over there than in your account. That'd be treasonous. That would be robbery. That would be theft. And yet we see that taking place with this president administration, somehow, some way, feeling that they can do so without any responsibility to answer to the general public and the taxpayers in general as to what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a dangerous time that we're living in. I think we're living in the last of the last days, as God's word has said to us. In the last days, we could expect these things. Perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. I believe perilous times have come. We're in the midst of those perilous days today, and facing Milton, that I believe is rated now as a Cat 4, that's supposed to hit the west coast of Florida, just south of Tampa, in about the next 24 hours. We need to be concerned, ladies and gentlemen. Is this something that the government is orchestrating? Can the government, in fact, control the destiny, the distance, the damage of a hurricane? Is it possible that their hand's on thumbprint is on this devastation? Is it possible that this is being done as what could be called otherwise the October surprise that would divert, change, and nullify many of the conservative votes? Most of these states are red states, ladies and gentlemen, that's been devastated by the hurricane. I'm concerned, will there be enough people that will come out of their sense of helplessness and hopelessness and say, I want to vote, I want to cast my ballots, when there's no roads, no bridges in many of the areas, and no funding, no homes, no food, no clothing, not a place to lay your head or a meal to eat, dependent upon the citizens, because FEMA says we don't have any money? What are your thoughts on that? I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with the question. Hey, comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I am so glad of this show today. And I'm with you 100%. And I believe that how this election is coming out, that it might propel us into the day of the end times. It's going to be chaos. I don't even think the government is going to be able to handle the government the way that it's going. I could be wrong, but so many of the scriptures are coming out. Oh, it's coming together and placing together like fingers going together. And if any saint or Christian or so-called Christian have any love in their heart for God, that they should be shaking in their boots if they're not heeding to what is coming to pass. This is a time that we have to vote.
Absolutely. Perhaps, in fact, Terry, I have said, I believe this is the most important vote, this most important election in my lifetime. And as I jokingly say, I'm still under 100 years old, but I believe in the next 3 weeks, citizens in America will make the determination for the destiny of our great nation. I think it is very vivid on the front of the October Decision magazine, a picture of cackling Kamala Harris. Under it says socialism. A picture of Donald J. Trump. Under it, under his picture, it says freedom. I think that paints the picture very well as to what we're faced with. And I believe, if nothing else, let's just use some hypotheticals based on some of our callers. If the government's not been involved, if the government's not seeded the clouds to cause the hurricane's path to take this direction, if their hand has not been on it, if the thumbprint's not on it at all, it's no less than the hand of God anyway, making the determination that he's going to continue, as I believe, progressively judge our nation for saying no to God, turning our backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, banning the Bible, banning prayer. Yeah. So I believe we're witnessing the last of the last days. Now, my question is, my position is it possible that God will allow America to lose this election? When I say lose it, if Kamala Harris gets the election, we've lost the election. We've lost America. We've lost the destiny of our nation. We've lost our Bill of Rights. We've lost our freedoms. We've lost our religious liberties. Yes. We've lost our right to keep and bear arms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If that takes place, it is no less than the hand of God that's bringing it about because of our determination to say no to God.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, it seemed like that old song, "The Whole World is a Stage." All of these people that are here, even those that we don't even know that are here, everyone going to hit the street. If it don't be a big riot, but are the saints ready to battle in the spirit? And all that witchcraft in the White House from the beginning, from back in the day, and the Masons and all of that. This is something.
Terry, you hit the nail on the head. I believe it. You used the term witchcraft. It's a total demonic delusion that I believe is pervading all of our society today, especially when it comes to our local, state, and federal governmental agencies. There is a unison in their thoughts and the feelings, and it's against God, against God's word, and a sense and a feeling that we, the citizens, simply are good for nothing but churning out tax money for them to spend elaborately on themselves and on their buddies. I'm concerned about it, and it's my prayer that we will pray, that we will plan and participate and vote. We need to understand this election, if our listeners in a listening area where before the storm, after the storm, in the midst of the storm, it seems like hopeless, and you have to make a special effort to go vote, I say our nation is worth making that special effort to go vote. It is a vote of a lifetime. It is a vote that every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot must make sure that we cast that ballot. So, Terry, we need to keep praying, keep looking up. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Okay, one more thing is that the people that are here that may not have been born in America, but if they love our country, for them to please try to persuade the ones that are coming in to help us fight against whatever's going on.
Absolutely. And Terry, you touched on a truth. In fact, there are a lot of people on the Kamala Harris, cackling Kamala's side that say they're going to get the Hispanic vote. Those Hispanic people that are here, birthed here or came here, and this became their nation, 50% of the Hispanics, 50% as a minimum of the Hispanics in America won't seal borders, won't close borders, and want President Donald J. Trump to be back in office. That should speak volumes as to what our nation is like and where we are today. We need to keep praying and keep looking up, realizing that our redemption draweth nigh. Terry, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Mayorkas, that is the head of DHS, wasted FEMA funds helping illegal aliens. Now he says there's not enough money to help the Americans. Hurricane Helene has killed hundreds of Americans across six states, obliterated entire settlements, and left multitudes of citizens homeless, hungry, helpless, and exposed in the dark. Help is badly needed. The trouble, according to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, is that the Federal Emergency Management Agency lacks the requisite funds. During a press briefing, Mayorkas told reporters, quote, we're meeting the immediate needs with money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds to help, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a major, major dilemma. In fact, there are newsreels out there where Kamala Harris is in Savannah, Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, Valdosta, Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. Gleefully talking about how the government's there to help, and they're going to give each family, not each person, each family, a check of $750. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, the illegal invaders get $1,500 cash in their brown envelopes, EBT cards that's unlimited, and a cell telephone that's prepaid, and in most cases, if they're shipped by plane to blue cities and blue states, they're put in five-star hotels with three meals a day furnished for them and travel expenses, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a crying shame, as the old cliche would go, for this to take place in America. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough for that to be happening in our nation, where now we're being told that FEMA does not have the funds to fund the hurricane victims. It's bad enough to see that taking place. But, ladies and gentlemen, to find that on the ground, there's a feeble FEMA representation in North Carolina, Asheville in particular, and in some parts of Tennessee, some parts of Georgia. FEMA ordering citizens, ladies and gentlemen, we have citizens in North Carolina in particular, in Asheville, that had gone in with drones. Drones that were able to, in some cases, with the capability of identifying a person in the woods to find out where they were, if they still had live people that they could go and possibly rescue. those that had independent individual citizens that had those. Now, Pete Buttigieg, the head of the Department of Transportation, has gone there and he's ordered them to stop. I'm looking at the headline. Mayor Pete ordered citizens to stop using drones to find stranded victims as feds fumble hurricane response. In part, this article reads, there's also some safety issues that have come up, he said. For example, temporary flight restrictions to make sure the airplane airspace is clear for any flights or drones activity that might be involved in helping to allow those emergency responders to do their jobs. The Transportation Department posted a video of Pete Buttigieg's comments. Drone pilots, colon, do not fly your drone near or around rescue and recovery efforts for Hurricane Helene. Interfering with emergency response operations impacts research and rescue operations that are taking place by FEMA on the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that I've ever heard anything any more disgusting, any more frightening, any more devastating than to have citizens in parts of these ravaged states that are going out trying to help, providing out of their own pocket funds and transportation and monetary help and food, clothing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And most of all, trying to rescue them out of what would be a desperate condition and maybe even death. Looking at the headline, report and video shows FEMA sabotaging volunteer relief efforts. Helicopters flying over volunteer supply drop zones in North Carolina because volunteers refused to let FEMA confiscate their supplies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a rumor. It's not just hearsay. It's not just disinformation. But FEMA agents, the few that's on the ground in the North Carolina area, are refusing to allow help coming in from outside by citizens. Truckloads of bottles of water and other supplies that are being commandeered by FEMA. And in some cases, not all cases, in some cases where FEMA takes charge of the materials and they are to take it off their trucks, leave it, and FEMA said that they would disperse it. In other words, FEMA says we're going to take your products, your supplies, your assistance, your help, your aid for the devastation, and we're going to make it look as though it's coming from FEMA. Ladies and gentlemen, in Tennessee, in North Carolina, in Georgia, South Carolina, and other areas, churches have jumped in by the dozens and providing by the thousands assistance to assist these people in the devastated areas. Some of those in Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida. In fact, when you turn on the news, you would think that Florida has not had a hurricane. You very rarely hear anything on the socialist Marxist media talking about the help that is needed for citizens in the state of Florida. And now we're at the very threshold of having another major hurricane hit the West Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I go back to the premise and the proposition at the outset of this broadcast. The Lord Jesus Christ was on the ship with his disciples. The storm came. They thought they were going to drown. They screamed out, Lord, do you not care? I'm paraphrasing. Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we perish? And the Lord Jesus was asleep in the bow of the boat, had his head on a pillow, resting in the midst of the storm. What we need to understand is when Jesus is on the ship, we're not alone. When Jesus is on the ship, he controls the destiny of the ship. When the Lord Jesus Christ is in control, and ladies and gentlemen, I believe he is today, he is in total control. Nothing has taken him by surprise. Nothing has taken him in any way that he did not understand and know from the very beginning. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we need to tie to that very inextricably is the fact that in Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, and in Matthew 24, we find the scripture telling us that these things, i.e. the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the fires, etc., with devastation that's being seen in the clouds and the skies, with those things happening, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us pre-written warning of what's going to take place in the last days. It ought not to surprise us. It ought not frighten us. We ought to be concerned in focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing he is our only hope. Ladies and gentlemen, FEMA is in a position today that I believe it's a pragmatic approach they're taking to make it look as though they're doing something to help. Feigning brokenness with the funding that is needed, But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to focus on who controls the storms. Now understand, this is not countering what we've already talked about, the potentiality. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, how to steer hurricanes, flood homes, and steal lithium. It is a full article, 5 or 6 pages, ladies and gentlemen, about the fact that lithium is heavily found in the mountains in some of the places in North Carolina, and a lithium company was already negotiating to buy the properties in the all of the hillsides in the mountains that is now devastated. I find it ironic that they were trying to negotiate to take the property, to buy the property. The citizens were saying no because they did not want lithium mines in their backyards. And now all of a sudden, those properties have been devastated. No homes, no families, families displaced, and already having the vultures going in to buy the property up for pennies on the dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned with the hand, not just with the hand of God and what God is doing, but I'm concerned with the hand of man and what man may have done in relationship to that. I'm looking at a headline that's a little frightening. It says, was Helene targeted to incapacitate the red state areas? Rumors are spreading that the devastation and the damage caused by the hurricane was deliberately created by the Biden administration to incapacitate the red areas of the country, inferring that the early voting interfering with early voting. What is the difference between conspiracy theory and fact? About 6 months, the saying goes. Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on Twitter, yes, that they can control the weather. She included in a video clip of Barack Hussein Obama, the CIA director, and John Brennan discussing it. Brennan said, and I quote here, ladies and gentlemen, in this article, geoengineering could alter the weather pattern and potentially help reverse the global warming effects of climate change. He said stratosphere atmosphere injections, SAI, puts particles into the atmosphere that can help reflect the sun's heat. He compared it to how volcano eruption can change the weather. Volcano eruptions can cause sunspots, which in turn may increase temperatures of the earth. Brennan said the technique could be used to lower the earth's temperature. He goes further. This could potentially cause weather patterns to change. It is not in any way controlling them, Representative Green implies. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, called NOAA, website explains how these types of modification changes the weather. It states, quote, solar radiation modification refers to deliberate, large-scale action intended to decrease global average surface temperatures by increasing the reflection of sunlight away from the Earth. Some regions could experience cooler or wetter weather conditions, while others warmer, drier condition compared to climate without SRM. There are patents of weather modification technology in the hurricanes. It was used first in 1943 with the Project Cirrus, spearheaded by General Electric. After a disaster and congressional hearings paused Cirrus, it was brought back to the project called Storm Fury. And it started back in 2016, 2017, etc. The article is about a 5-page article. Ladies and gentlemen, may never know what has taken place in these devastating days just before the election. And I put a little parenthetical footnote. Could this be the Democrats' October surprise? Could it be with that being announced? I think so, personally. But I go back to the fact that we need to do as on page 1 of Decision Magazine by Franklin Graham. Let me close with these words. Franklin Graham says, just a few weeks, our nation will hold one of the most consequential elections in decades. Voters will go to the polls on Tuesday, November the 5th, to cast their ballots for the next president of the United States, as well as for many crucial congressional, state, and local offices. The future of our nation is at stake. America has drifted from the biblical values that once stood as our rock-solid foundation. In so many ways, we've turned our backs on God. And the results have been devastating. The progressives, the liberals, thought, and activism have so contaminated the mainstream of American life and culture that once unthinkable abominations such as same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, transgender advocacy have become the dogma in one major party's platform. Our dangerous plight reminds me of Isaiah's warnings to apostate Israel, which had abandoned allegiance to Almighty God and instead adopted the godless culture surrounding nations. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Be warned, Franklin Graham says, if we continue down this rebellious path, our nation will reap the bitter fruit of blatant immorality that shakes its fist in the face of God. Remember, we reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later than we sow. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. That's the NIV translation he used in Galatians 6:8. He says further, and I read, I'm reading from Franklin Graham, page 1, Decision Magazine, October issue. The Bible clearly teaches that governments are ordained by God to restrain evil and enable righteousness to flourish. Romans 13, 3 and 4. That's why Christians should carefully pray and vote for the candidate that best aligns with the stand for biblical principles. Above all, I encourage believers across the nation to pray for God's merciful, providential hand to turn the nation back to God, for Almighty God to heal our land. We the people must cry out to God and to Him in repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have stated it any more succinctly, any clearer than Franklin Graham has stated it. I call upon you today, number one, to recognize God's hand at work. Secondly, to realize that we're not alone as we go through the storm. Remember, just as Jesus was on the boat with his disciples for safety and for security, he controls the winds and the waves. We need to pray and ask him to give us strength and encouragement and hope and peace even through the storm. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray, see God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. The storm is coming. We're faced with the storm, but we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ is the controller of the storms, and we need to place our faith and trust and hope in him and not in man. But we need to be willing to say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us with us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
The essence of genuine repentance is that the mind does a turnaround. Literally, the word means to change one's mind. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. And that's exactly what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. He changed his mind about God. He changed his mind about Jesus, about the resurrection, even about those who followed Christ. He must have shaken his head for days. He thought,